move forward in our continuum, take your document. Everyone repeat after me, scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time. We're in part 5. Everyone repeat after me. Temporal.
Temporal.
And eternal things.
And eternal things.
Compared.
Compared.
Oh my God. I like the expression no contest.
All right.
When you take that which is spiritual and you juxtapose it with that which is physical. If you are guided by the Spirit, there is no comparison.
None.
Now, there are some that look at things, but they're looking at strictly from physicality in time.
Right.
And, of course, some of those things, they are alluringly deceptive. The bottom line is one abides and the other one is soon to pass. That which is soon to pass only has what can best be referred to as a fleeting valuation. Like, you know, you hear the stock market about the dollar being devalued, and then investors run to the stock market and they start just trading and trying to beat the odds. Amen. When we look at these type things, as they occur and as they have occurred, and as they are occurring, all to be properly apportioned as simply functions of time, that which is on the matrix. And so life is not about the things that are around us. Our life transcends the things that are around us. Although Nicholson is our designated reader this morning, let's all turn to Philippians chapter 1. And we're on page 124 in the second paragraph of our document. As we look at this chapter and these verses, we see one Paul who is like any other servant of God, going through the struggles of performing his job. And basically, it is all prayer and, of course, joyfully in fellowship. In the fifth verse there, he's talking about fellowshipping in the gospel. In the sixth verse, he's talking about being confident that what is started according to the decree is a done deal. And not only will perform it, but according to the indicative future aspect, a thing is already existing even though it hasn't shown up yet. And that's why I don't worry about this ministry. Not in the sense of is sustainability. The essence of what God has done and what he is doing is all vividly purposed and is actualized in his decree. And so as we look through these verses, in the verse 20, he uses that same word that we used this morning in a pastor's pen, earnest expectation, and then hope. If you can recall the last times we've come before you, we have stopped, and it has caused us to get behind in our sequence of ministering, but I deemed it very important that we understand the locale of our salvation. That is in eternity, not in time. Things are too flexible, and things aren't too unstable in time. Just the fact that you have the element of change in time makes salvation in time very, very flexible.
Yes, yes.
But your salvation is not in time.
Not.
Your salvation is eternal.
Amen.
The essence of your life is not so much what you're doing now, each day, even though it seems like it, and this is what we resonate with. But the essence of your life, as we shall deal this morning, is more about who you are in the heavens, in Christ, in eternity, than it is about what you are doing as you travel through the terrain of time on the matrix. And again, this is all manifestation.
All right.
Following the outline of what God has already coursed in your life.
Amen.
Decreed. So nothing is coming down the pike that you don't have to worry about God being shocked or surprised. We're shocked and surprised, but God is never shocked or surprised about what goes down. It's all ordered.
Yes, sir.
It's all predetermined.
Predestined. Yes, sir.
Foreordained.
Mm-hmm.
Foreordained.
Yes, sir.
Pro.
Before.
Outlaid and set in place.
Yes, sir.
And that should bring comfort to us. Mm-hmm. Rather than thinking on a daily basis, God is making decisions as to what's going to happen to you, what he will allow and what he won't allow, and that's got to be unnerving. And even the reverse things of life that we think that we encounter.
Mm-hmm. Come on with it.
These are things that are part of a purpose pattern of God, who has already in his decree brought into being whatever exists.
Yes. Yes.
And everything that exists.
Yes. Yes.
Now the only question here is, do we trust God? Do we really trust him? He said, well, I trust the Lord. You know, as long as things are going good, do we really trust him?
Amen.
Is our salvation complete?
Amen.
Is our salvation secure?
Amen.
Are we set?
Yes.
Are we safe?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we secure?
Amen. Yes.
This is where the Word of God comes into play.
Come on.
Now, those that may be watching here at the Grace Gospel Church, our ministry basically runs on several wills. One of them is that you must abide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you're going to be confused.
Amen.
You cannot mix the messages. Our contract is the grace contract. The mystery writings. Everybody said the mystery writings. Now, part of our job is to demystify the mystery.
Come on here.
Well, you know why? Because basically, most of us, we suffer from xenophobia. So what is, no. Xenos is the word, Greek word, foreign. Unfamiliar. Of course, we know what phobia is. It's fear. So that's fear of that which is not familiar. Fear of that which is foreign to us. These writings, for the most part, are foreign to men of God's people because Paul is dealing with the spiritual things that are in the heavenlies in Christ. And even when he's talking about something physical, it is from the heavenly vertical aspect of looking down upon it and seeing it as only mirrored on the reflections in measures on the matrix. With the actualized position being in what God has said. So let us move forward, get rid of this xenophobia, of the fear of unfamiliar by making it familiar.
All right.
In other words, the spiritual now is not so foreign to us. You know, the physical, we automatically, what we do, we resonate with it. What I touch, can taste, and smell, and I see, I can handle. Hey, I know what that's about. Don't be talking about all that old pie in the sky, by and by stuff. That scares me. No, it shouldn't scare you. You are more who you are in Christ. Since you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Oh, right now, you are more who you are in the body of Christ than you are walking around in these bodies. And what could be more scary than day by day we're going through all these changes? Except we're not walking by sight. We walk by what? By faith, not by sight. And the most blessed part of this is that we're always aware, as we said last week, a week before last, that we are present at home where?
In the Lord.
In the body. That's in the Lord, it's in the body. In the body of Christ. Our conscious locked into the matrix and locked into the time parameters
right.
And coordinates
right.
Of space frames when not fed and energized by the word of God gives us an illusion that we are away from the Lord, but you are never away from the Lord.
Never.
So these are the things that we must understand. And so last few outings, we're dealing with the fact that we are waitingly expecting the manifestation consciousness of those things that actually reside. So we're not on the earth looking up, waiting for him to come. We're in the heavens. You don't hear me this morning. We're in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Why I can't relate to that? Things don't exist. Or things don't operate based upon what we even comprehend.
Right.
You're safe whether you know it or not.
Know it or not.
Whether you believe it or not. Whether you feel like it or not.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, I'm safe.
I'm safe.
You are.
That's right.
And so when we're singing a song, we're not just singing a song.
Amen.
It's true. And so our salvation is a great thing.
Yes.
There are people this morning say, well, I know I got salvation, but my bills, they're behind. And I got this ailment in my back. And that's more real to me than you. You know, I can appreciate my salvation better if he would just heal my body. Now, you see, you got the whole thing. You got the priorities mixed up. This week I went to see a very precious soul, a lady who had been told and sent home in a hospice situation, and said it's just a matter of weeks or days. And I left there encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, the Lord has visited you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking in terms of comprehension. Because she was just not resigned to the fact. She's eagerly expecting. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's not the end.
No way.
Oh, it's the end of the journey on the matrix. But it's the beginning of my conscience aligning with who I am, who I always have been in Christ. Now, that's not true. You just take this book and pitch it. At least take the 14 pistols out of it, you know, and then bring it back and go on down in to Egypt and you get out of there and go on into Canaan and you get out of there just float on around and amen and walk on through and hope and wish and sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're almost level to the ground. But it's not that way.
No way.
We're more than conquerors.
Amen.
As Paul wrote, we're not just getting by.
No way.
Our salvation is a done deal. In that 21st verse, Paul makes a statement that, Elder, read verses 21 through 25. First in the King James. And boy, that cock is just always racist on me. Amen. Everybody has Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
King James Version?
Yeah, do King James Version, then we'll come back with the Greek.
Philippians 1, 21, King James Version. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ.
Oh, that's insight.
Which is far better.
But hold a minute. That's insight. That's spiritual insight. Which most of God's people cannot resonate with.
That's true. Amen.
Here he is talking about his brothers.
All
right, reading, we'll come back to that when we get into our Greek reading and exegesis. Read.
Nevertheless,
mm-hmm.
to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And having this confidence,
mm-hmm.
I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith.
Verse 26, do that one too.
That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me,
mm-hmm.
and by my coming to you again.
Okay, so here, Apostle saying, with the knowledge and the comprehension that God has given to me, I'm going to weigh this against what my function and calling is as a minister of this gospel. But I'm here to tell you what my brothers are. So that as you learn this, my rubbers will translate to your rubbers.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what we're saying here?
Mm-hmm.
As we get deeper into the essence of salvation.
Right.
The more you learn spiritual, the less you see the value of that which is physical.
Amen.
The more you get rid of your xenophobia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you fear what is unfamiliar, because spiritually the things of God are discernible, but to the flesh that which is spiritual is a foreigner.
Amen.
I mean, this morning I could take you to some passage in the Old Testament, and I could tell a Bible story, and everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that has its place in some corroborative aspect. But the job of the grace minister and the grace dispensation, again, as I have said, is to demystify the mystery. Take all of the mystery out of the mystery message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a mystery because it was unknown for generations. That Greek word mysterion. But it has been revealed. God revealed to Paul so that he can convey it to the church. And as we become more and more involved in the mystery message,
mm-hmm.
it becomes less and less a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It becomes the joy that just really overtakes all of the vicissitudes of life. It becomes the joy that transcends the confusion and disappointments and setbacks that are around me. And as we look upon the matrix, we are not among those that become depressed, frustrated, discouraged. No, this knowledge, as Paul spoke concerning the ministry, is tied in with the fact that he has ordered it for purpose,
mm-hmm.
for testimony. Why didn't God deliver Paul from the Philippian jail? Why did he allow him to be house arrested for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, when they finally got their little trumped up charges together, why didn't he deliver him?
Mm-hmm.
Why did God allow Paul to be executed?
Yep.
His head chopped off.
Right.
And they didn't have the guillotine then.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So it wasn't quick. Why? Did Paul get a raw deal? Oh, they don't talk about this. You go into the ministries and they want you to go back in Genesis and talk about how many oxen and manservants and women servants and all of the possessions that Abraham had at the end, and you know, and tell you all you got to do is to trust God like Abraham did, and you don't get that. Abraham didn't trust God.
No.
Except the instances he was caused to for testimony's sake. But it's not about that. Here's what Paul says. Let's go and look at this 21st verse. In the Greek. Greek and Hellenic. Read that out.
What now?
The 21st verse.
21st verse?
Yes.
Okay. For me to live is Christ.
No, not this. Oh, okay, all right. We're in the Greek now. And follow us if you do not have the Greek interlinear. Then just follow the reading in your translation, whatever it is. All right, very slowly, Elder.
For to me to live is Christ.
You notice how he started it out? It is imi ga. He said, for to me. Now, that is to me. In other words, this is my revelation. It might not be that way when you look at it, but to me.
Hallelujah.
This is the revelation that God has given me.
Yes.
This is the comprehension that God has given me.
Yes.
So to me what?
To live.
Mm-hmm.
Christ.
To live, Christ. Here you have a present infinitive. Living. To live, living.
Mm-hmm.
Living is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have what you call an application. Christ is living. Living is Christ. A living Christ. Christ living. Christ is life. Life is Christ. What a profound statement. Well, what about the other part, Paul? Read.
To die is gain.
That is out of there.
Oh, and to die,
bracket. To die, gain. Now, look at this Greek word here. Verb. Apothavnin. Syllable is on the first. Accent is on the first syllable. Apothavnin. Brother, do you have your... What is that? It's an aorist infinitive. In other words, to die, having died. To die, having died. Now you notice, when he says living, he uses the present infinitive. And when he talks about dying, he uses the aorist infinitive. You know why? Death is already taken care of. He died and we identify with his death. When did Christ die? In eternity. It's a done deal. Living Christ. Christ living. To die, having died, gain. two die, heaven died. Gains. Somebody said, well, how could that, how can death be gained? As we look at this verse, he's speaking of the physical aspect of separation, because spiritually, such is not relevant. Last week we talked about resurrection. The benefit of resurrection is he's alive and we're alive. Because he lived, we're alive. And so that just, we're so busy each day, and I'm not saying don't take care of the functions that are your responsibilities. Everybody always go to wrong with it. I'm saying we get so focused on what we're doing in time on a daily basis, so there's no thought of what God in eternality has provided for us. Come on, time we talk about eternality, so we get to a home going. And because we feel like we don't have no choice at that point. and so certain passages, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we view those as home going messages. Now, some pastors, they got those even marked in their Bibles. And all the time they go there is at homecoming. No, these are messages of life. It is from this vantage point that you're going to deal with your bills and deal with your ailments and deal with whatever happens in life. But you're never looking at those because you're always prioritizing what? Your eternal abode. Now here you've got something that's eternal. And you have that which is temporal. What does temporal mean?
Not
long. So whatever you're doing now is not long. I mean, even if you live 100 years, you have lived what? You have lived 1,200 months. You have lived 36,500 plus or minus days. That's a long time in comparison to what? Here God has a glorious and never-ending existence. I mean, you start talking about that, many of God's people are bored. So the ministers feel intimidated because nobody wants to be boring. I don't want to be boring, but you know what? If it bores you for me to talk about this, then you're going to be bored. All that other stuff, a tsunami can wipe it away, tornado, hurricane, earthquake. Let's go outside the sphere of the earth. Asteroid. Let's go back in the earth. Pestilence, disease. We got all of these things that can be propelled against our physical state, which renders it all temporary. And yet we're prioritizing these things over the essence of who we are in Christ eternally. I've got something that's eternal. This is why Paul, he said that we're not looking at, what are we looking at? Yeah, most of God's people looking at the physical aspect. I'm not talking about the world. But what should we be looking at? And even when we, oh God, we're going to be in Philippians for a couple of weeks, okay? The essence of what he is saying here speaks about what should be prioritized. I mean, even if you want to feel better about your bills and so forth and so on, look at them from eternity, not from time. Somebody said. I can't pay them from eternity. Oh, God. Whatever is going on in your life, it's temporary. The essence of who you are in Christ. We're not looking at the things being seen. We're looking at what? The things not being, the spiritual instead of the physical. Because the physical is what? Temporary. And the spiritual is what?
Eternal.
So over and over and over and over and over again, this is what our contract is conveying to us. Because it will help your life now. It will cut down upon the disappointments. The frustrations. The discontentment. That we face in life. Now, let's go to page 124. And I don't know how I'm going to finish this document by summer, but I can't worry about it. We cannot go to page 2 until we understand page 1. Let's look at the second paragraph there where it says, in temporariness, you got that? That's in page 124. Everybody got to say amen. In temporariness, hope, even delayed, renders the heart discouraged. In Proverbs 13 and 12, those that love those Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. But suppose it doesn't come. But even if it does come, your hope is always above the things that are around you. And God says, don't hope and don't anticipate things. There's nothing wrong with a raise on the job and healing and so forth. Those are all good blessings. In fact, I love Shabbat. But the grace praise does what? What does the grace praise? It transcends and it takes you above. In the grace praise, you're always happy. In the grace praise, the tornado doesn't. It comes along and it tears your house up completely. And even maybe take out a couple of your loved ones. Your joy is still there. Because it is in a hope that is transcendent of your physical environment. Now follow this. Too many suppose that beyond earthly life residency of the body of Christ, abodes of Christ, while they are oblivious to the actualized state of such one having been previously positioned in Christ. So we say we're with Christ, but we don't understand the concept of being in Christ. Everything concerning you is completely provided for.
Amen.
But you got to look beyond the things that are around you. They believe and teach that there is an intermediate state. And we're going to deal with this for the next couple of 2-3 outings. There's an intermediate state connecting one's earthly demise and resurrection. Nonetheless, being with Christ without being in Christ is impossible. You know, his book is out, and everyone is, not everyone, but many so-called evangelical ministries, they're hollering and calling him a traitor and so forth and so on. His name escapes me right now. But because we have treated salvation so flimsy until it looks like it's almost impossible to have confidence in an eternal state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we have placed it in time.
Yeah.
And so from day to day, we don't know where we're coming or going. We don't know whether we're saved or not saved.
Oh,
you know, had a good day, I'm saved. Mm-hmm. Had a bad day? Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Not about you.
Amen.
And because of this, the transition aspect of it is unreliably viewed,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because it's erroneously taught.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And so they're going back to the old organized church essence of an intermediate state.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for those that didn't get up and act clean up while we were here, going to a state and there, you know, and get the act cleaned up. And ask questions about those that died and didn't know Christ. Is that the end, or do they get another chance? Do they get another chance? Because they did not come up to some standard of which orthodoxy has decreed,
mm-hmm.
that this is the criteria for being saved. This is what required. And you didn't get it and you're gone. And so the organized church in the past centuries and one particular denomination today,
mm-hmm.
has that purgatory and that intermediate state where people can be ministered to, then you get one last chance. And some even erroneously taught and went into Paul's epistles of all places.
Mm.
And he led captivity, Then they jumped back into the kingdom gospel and said, when he came out of the grave, they saw all of the old saints, And said, while he was in the grave, he preached to as many as would listen to him. He led captivity captive, didn't he? That's not what that's talking about. Stay in your gospel. And don't ever have Paul's ministry dealing in any physical aspect that's not predetermined in eternality. So we'll deal with that. Nonetheless, being with Christ, give me about 10 minutes. We're going to run a little over. Being with Christ without being in Him is impossible, as we've said. Enlighteningly, the great scriptures, everybody say the great scriptures. The great scriptures are the testimonial citations of distinguished from the vantage point of actualized habitants in eternity, as we've said. We've dealt with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Remember, we went through that. Being of good courage, what? Always. Being confident, always. Knowing, having known what? That while we are home in the body, we are away from home, from the Lord. In other words, home is always home. And home to us is in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Instead of being in the earth and in our daily time coordinate circumstances. And so, basically, Philippians 1:23, which we won't get to today, states, "Why I'm pressed by the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, for it's better." No, I think we better go there. Let's read chapter verse 22 and verse 23 of that Philippians chapter 1, Elder. And then I think to really minister this and convey, amen, what knowledge does, the knowledge base of who we are in Christ, what it actually does. It takes it, it It takes the fear out of this thing. It takes the guesswork out of it. You know, most things that we don't understand, we fear, right? So as we demystify this and bring it into the perspective and see the essence of being, a being in Christ is the essence of what life really is. Then we don't look at physical transition with dread.
Right.
We eagerly expect because we are viewing it from the heavenly eternal sphere. Read that, Elder, from the Greek.
But if I live in the flesh.
No. That's from the interlineal.
Okay.
We're through with King James.
But if to live in flesh, this to me proves of
speaking of his ministry,
of work, and what I choose not to believe.
And now what I shall not, and what I shall choose not. And what I shall choose not,
but I am constrained by the tooth, desire heaven to depart and be with Christ, to be for by much rather better.
Okay, now, in the 22nd verse, what I shall choose not, I perceive. Your perception becomes the base. You function according to your perception. Now, of course, God is the one that gives perception. You notice the difference between that and the King James? See, it is the essence of what you know and what you perceive and what you understand as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, conveys these things, and we internalize them.
Amen.
This becomes the driving force that gives us direction.
Amen.
Now, in that 23rd verse, he speaks about I'm constrained by the two, my ministry and the essence of what God has commissioned me to.
Amen.
And the knowledge of what God has given me concerning where I am, where I reside, and where I abide. And so he said, the desire to depart. And basically, what is that, Brother Deacon? Why can he call that a completed? Say, why is he saying he's departed in? But as he's writing this, he's still in the body. He's speaking from eternality. In another part of letter he wrote to 1 Corinthians, he says that when this earthly house of this tabernacle may be having been destroyed. That in eternality you've already transitioned out of physicality into eternality. In other words, your funeral is up on the matrix. Your conscience haven't gotten to it yet. Somebody said, well, I hope it be a while. All things are set. To the part and to be having been. And this is what I prefer.
Amen.
Then it goes on down there, and we'll get to it next time. It's far better, but this part, Paul understood that he said, my life is not my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call the shots.
Amen.
But just letting you know that it's better than what it is here. That's what this testimony is about.
Amen.
But I will function according, and I will continue based on the fact that this is what has been assigned to me.
Amen.
Give me 5 minutes, and I'm gonna just have to bail out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Last paragraph at the bottom, 124. This is contrastingly conveyed in the kingdom scriptures. Contrastingly. In the kingdom scriptures, earthly citations from the vantage point of actualized inhabitants in eternity. Peter had some glimpse, not as much as Paul.
Amen.
First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Then also, there's some aspect in chapter 3, verse 13, which state, knowing that shortly I must, Peter's talking about his own testimony, I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Christ has showed me. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, anticipate new heavens and new earth. Now, Paul wouldn't be talking this way because what? No. The body of Christ versus the commonwealth of Israel. The placements. Wherein righteousness dwells. But neither Peter nor Paul's statement indicates that their expectations flow in time, then into another period of waiting. Neither one of them, this intermediate concept. Because that is irrelevant in eternity. Hence, those who believe in the transitional state are hoping for the city of God, envisioning time, and you don't get the city of God from heaven in the time aspect. The 1,000-year millennial reign, there has not been a transition from the standpoint of physicality to spirituality. That 1,000-year reign, you still got people who are every bit as carnal as we are, except Christ will rule with what?
Yes, iron hand, fist, rod.
He will put the clamps. First thing he does, he takes the devil and he throws him where? Puts him in chains.
Amen.
Throws him to a pit.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason you see some people kind of acting right. And when they don't, there's severe punishment. And severe judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for 1,000 years, and then that's so. But what Peter is talking about here is after that, after Armageddon,
mm-hmm.
there's a new heaven and a new earth. You got the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven,
mm-hmm.
which is not heaven.
Nope.
We'll deal with that another time. Oh my God. Look at this. If this is true, the elect's sensitivity is sequenced to the firm hope for eternity, which is not. That is, if you got an intermediate state. Abraham had experienced delayed hope in Isaac's birth in Genesis. But that would be nothing compared with more than 4,000 years of delayed hope for eternity, if that's what it was about. Also, because it's been... That's a long time. Also, in this view, the disciples' sight recognition of Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration destroys the inspiration of Abraham waiting for his glorified body. Paul was constrained by, and we end here today, by talks from two courses. For impressed by the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, for it is far better and to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account in speaking of the ministry.
Amen.
Now both of Paul's desires were superior. He was not only ready to interlock in actualization in or with Christ, but willing to stay if his race of course and manifestation was unfinished.
That's right.
He could not at that point in his life say, I have finished my course. And you don't leave until you in reflection of the decree. Your function is in the reflection of God's decree.
That's right.
You know, sometimes they, well, I think in Sister Rosemary's daughter Lundy, they took all the tubes out, and they said by tonight, no later than tomorrow, she'll be gone. Lasted what, about 2 weeks after that? And God is always saying, hey, it's not up to you. In other words, your life is not up to you. Let me put it even stronger. Your life is not about you.
Amen.
When Paul writes and said, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And then he comes along and said, the poet said, no man's an island. That's not what Paul was saying. He said, none of us have a reason of ourselves to live. And whether we live to the Lord. And when we die to the Lord. Our dying is according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Why? Because we belong to the Lord. So, it's your course because it's assigned to you. Nevertheless, what is the problem about Paul's death of life is that Christ transcends both your life and your living and your dying. Christ. So my life is Christ. Christ is my life. Life is Christ. Christ is life. That's the essence of this. Manifestation wise, if he died, he would be with Christ in eternity. That's in manifestation. But if he lived, he would be working in the spirit of Christ in time, yet always internalized in essence that his abode is in Christ in eternity. And there's some scriptures here we touch on them, maybe not today. I finish this up, this paragraph. Paul's constraint was that the happiest condition in which one could live in time, in which one could repose, that is, relax, rest, and not from such desire to escape. We have a Greek verb there, synecdoche, that's second syllable. Synecdoche is translated, pressed, held in or constrained in that 23rd verse we read. Listen, as I finish, it is the present passive indicative of the verb synecdoche, which denotes to hold together with constraint. This verb is translated straight in Luke, pressed in Acts, and constraints in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The essence is, these constraints are here, but still my hope is still not delayed. Because where I'm hoping from, I already abide and reside where I'm hoping from.
Hallelujah.
I'm waiting for a day to come in time that I transition, but what I'm looking from is from the essence of where I've already abided in transition of the Spirit. And so this is how we must live our lives. So that the things of life don't control us. We're controlled by Christ. Our happiness is Christ. Our joy is Christ. Our peace is Christ. And yet where we are waiting from is in the essence of in Christ. And just to know these things become the essence of tranquility.
Amen.
And joy. And so I'll sing the song that they sing from time to time. One day. One day. I'm going where Jesus is. Oh, they don't sing it that much anymore because everybody's trying to get sideways how to get out of debt and how to beat the system.
Amen.
But one day, can you say one day?
One day.
One day. I'm going where Jesus is. Going to be caught up. Can you say caught up? Can you say caught up? To be there. Oh, it is so good that I'm giving him praise and the joy of my life right now. The essence of, because I know I'm in him and there's never any question of me ever being out of him. Oh, give him a praise.